RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Tuesday morning means the Wilms Report. Tim Wilms from the Unshackled.net beaming in from Melbourne. Aussie. Melbourne Cup Day today. Tim, you must be excited. You must be ready to... Well, I don't know what you do if you're in Melbourne for the Melbourne Cup. Never been there for that before. What happens?
Hi, Paul. Good to be here. Well, the Melbourne Cup horse racing, it's not really my thing. But if people want to go and enjoy it and in a lot of cases get blind drunk and publicly embarrass
absolutely
themselves.
Absolutely hammered. I've seen the footage. Yeah.
That is their right. But unlike the Nup to the Cup animal rights activists who like the Extinction Rebellion, Just Stop Oil people, in the past they've tried to block access to Flemington Racecourse, where the cup is run either by the road or the train, because there is a direct train line that goes there, unlike to our airport. So that's sort of where another betting market, if there'll be... If there'll be some sort of secondary
betting market there.
Yes. Yeah. And so the marketing of the Melbourne Cup is the race that stops the nation, but there's the Reserve Bank meeting that'll stop the nation at 2:30 today, half an hour before the race. And we just had the 2 September quarterly inflation data released last week, so 2.8%. The Albanese government, Treasurer Jim Chalmers, are crowing that it's back between the 2 to 3% target. And so please, Reserve Bank, please start cutting interest rates, even though our RBA raised it only to the highest 4.35%. So unlike your Reserve Bank and a lot of Reserve Banks around the world, they raised it a pretty low. And but obviously, for political purposes, they want rate cuts before the next election. Now, if you go into the inflation data, like any person who wants to investigate further, it is down inflation because of the drop in petrol prices, which, of course, the Albanese government has no control over, because it is global factors. But of course, they take the reduction if it works for them. But if it's working against them, then blame global factors. And also, household electricity prices have dropped because of all the energy bill subsidy relief that state and federal governments have given over the past several months. So basically, the government has bought itself some inflation relief, even though they're not actually creating more electricity supply, especially with their renewables policy.
So it doesn't cover everything, though, does it, the inflation figure? There are some things of significant cost to people every day that aren't counted. So I wonder if that's the true figure.
Well, goods and services, they are still going up. For example, I just noticed that the tip-top Wonder White bread at our supermarkets, I remember before inflation started, it was $3.40. Then it went up to $4.40. It's been there for a while, but when I bought it the other day, it gone up to $4.50. So the prices at the supermarkets are still going up. Services inflation is still going up. So the actual goods and services that people need day to day is still going up. So certainly, I think that the average person, voter, knows that inflation has not stopped.
You don't need to buy that bread, Tim. There are alternatives to that.
Bugs?
Eat the bugs. Do your own research, as they say. All right, so that's kind of ironic that you've got the Reserve Bank and the Melbourne Cup on the same day.
Yes, and then we've got the election that'll stop the world Tuesday as well. Though, of course, we find out tomorrow what the results will be. Well, we hope we get a result.
Well, I think it might take a bit. This story made the news last day or so here in NZ. Triple O call by Dan Andrews That's been released after how many years? And is there any contradiction between what was known before this release of this call and what this call kind of says?
So after almost 12 years, after Dan Andrews, well, he said his wife, Kath, was driving in Blougowrie on the Mornington Peninsula holiday spot, January 7, 2013, when they hit teenage cyclist Ryan Mulman, and he had to be airlifted to hospital, was in intensive care, lost part of his spleen.
Oh,
and
yep.
Only a couple of years back, we actually got the police photographs, because Dan Andrews and his wife, they maintain, well, they wanted to stress in their official Victoria Police statement that he hit us, that he T-boned our car and went onto the windscreen, that basically it was his fault for running into them. Though when we saw the crash photographs, it had a shattered windscreen. And if he T-boned it, you'd sort of think that he would just fly across the top of the car if he ran into it. So it seemed very clear that they had hit something and someone had they'd gone onto their windscreen. That's
like head on, maybe head on. Yeah, okay.
Now, we have to thank the Victorian Libertarian MLC David Limbrick for using parliamentary privilege to say that he had heard the 000 call by Dan Andrews, where he tells the 000 operator, "We hit him." And it was aired in full on A Current Affair on Channel 9 on Friday night. And there's also this other strange things in this call that he says he's 10 metres away from Ryan Mulman.
Well, if you hit someone and they bounced off, they could go 10 metres. Or if you kept on going.
Well, wouldn't you want to? He said that he moved to get reception. And he also said that he didn't know if his wife, Kath, was on the phone as well. And so,
so was he in some sort of panic? Is that what he's trying to
It does seem like that. And there were several eyewitnesses. One said that they looked like they were arguing afterwards. And so Kath Andrews was the one that said she was driving. The Victoria Police report used her maiden name and they failed to breathalyse her after as a standard procedure.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Especially the breathalysing bit.
And Ryan Mulman said that he was basically told to keep quiet, otherwise you wouldn't get your TAC payout. And so he is suing Slater and Gordon, the law firm that represented them, for not providing him with a duty of care. And I previously let your audience know that a former Victoria Police Assistant Commissioner wrote a independent report for the legal case saying that, look at all of these holes in the story and how Victoria Police didn't follow standard procedure. So Dan Andrews released a statement the next day and reiterated that denied any wrongdoing and said, "We are sorry that the cyclist was injured in the accident. We did nothing wrong."
Okay. So it's kind of uncertain who was driving then, isn't it? If you've kind of got this foggy look to it.
And the fact that the police used Kath Andrews' maiden name to sort of try, it seems like it's a cover-up that it involved, he was opposition leader at the time in 2013. It does seem that there was trying to prevent the story coming out. And now a lot of people have, well, we're quite cynical about whether Dan Andrews will be held accountable for this. He hasn't been accountable for anything else. The COVID lockdowns, I mean, nothing's going to happen to him as a result of the federal government's COVID inquiry. He's still got his Companion of the Order of Australia. He's getting that paid position on the board of Origin Youth mental health, and he's also got his consulting business as well, lobbying for the Chinese. So his government's gotten away with, the red shirts wrought during Dan Andrews' first election campaign, where political staff were doing campaigning while being paid by the taxpayer falsified sheets. So although this
He's dodgy. Can we say it? He's dodgy. And has there been anything in his relationship with the police then in the time that, in more recent times, that would call one to question the relationship he had with them or whether they had, you know, favours were outstanding, you know?
Well, one of his staffers was appointed a assistant Victoria Police commissioner a couple of years ago.
Okay, all right.
And the current Chief Commissioner, Shane Patton, was appointed under his government. Obviously, the Premier appoints the police commissioner. But yes, and the red shirts wrought, as it was known, Victoria Police, they decided not to charge any of the MPs, even though they refused to be interviewed.
Okay. All right, well, fascinating. It's quite a long time ago now too, isn't it?
But again, the 000 call, it's just more evidence of we weren't told what really happened by the police and Dan Andrews. But again, it's Dan Andrews' legacy is that he was called Teflon Dan because he was able to weasel his way out of
Well, he had everyone bought anything. Up, didn't he? Had favours, must have had.
Oh, yes, and he was the master of spin as well.
Yeah,
he could spin his way out of anything.
Okay, Halloween stabbing. What happened?
Yes, so I'm not sure how big Halloween is in New Zealand. It's starting to get bigger in Australia. Obviously, you've got to be careful about what you wear on Halloween now, given that costumes can offend. Ray gun was the most popular Halloween costume. This Halloween in Australia, she got a glamorous magazine front page in News Corp Stella Weekend magazine. I'm digressing here. We also had another umpire get into trouble for a dress up, AFL umpire, I should say, dressing as Osama bin Laden, being suspended for one match umpiring.
Oh, okay.
Because the theme of their party was dress up as a character from the 2000s. And so dressing up as some bin Laden.
Okay, no, I get somebody. It. I get it. Not the best taste, but okay, yep.
Yeah, but so at least there was no violence at any of these dress ups, unlike this Halloween party in North Melbourne, where a South Sudanese rapper, Pal Bidong, was shot dead. So he was described as an aspiring rapper. That's how they often
He was shot, not stabbed. I had him stabbed. He was shot, was he?
Yes, and it's believed to be part of gang warfare. And so there's a South Sudanese community leader, Kot Manoa, warning that there could be reprisal attacks. And so as a warning for parents to lock their doors and call 000 for safety, tell young people to be home overnight, not be moving.
Gosh, okay.
Isn't it interesting how the media, when there's this sort of shooting death, aspiring rapper, he was going to be the next Tupac. Now,
yep.
My way of thinking, like, doesn't bother me as much when they're killing each other. It's natural selection. Whether the gangs are black, brown, or white, obviously it's when other people are caught up in the violence, when it causes real alarm in the community. But the fact that the police were very hands-off when it was basically a mini riot in North Melbourne, given their history of suppressing peaceful protests during the COVID lockdowns, of course, under the direction of Dan Andrews.
Yeah, okay, it's kind of sad though, isn't it? All right, just a few minutes left. Fallout from Albo's upgrade scandal. This doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon, Tim, this scandal?
Yeah, so I reported last week that Joe Aston, a former Financial Review journalist, in his book, The Chairman's Lounge, revealed that Anthony Albanese had directly requested from then CEO Alan Joyce, when he was Federal Transport Minister, 22 personal upgrades. Anthony Albanese, initially, he shot the messenger, said Joe Aston's a former Liberal Party staffer, used to work for Qantas. But 5 days later, he put out a statement saying he'd never directly contacted Alan Joyce for personal upgrades. So either Anthony Albanese...
Why didn't someone else do it?
Yes, this is the thing.
Someone else made the
call. Was it one of his staffers or... maybe it was to another senior Qantas executive. So there's only two possible scenarios. Anthony Albanese is a liar, or Joe Aston got his sources wrong information. I'd like Anthony Albanese to sue Joe Aston, to say that'd be an interesting federal court case. Though, of course, the fact that coalition politicians have decided to obviously make political mileage, particularly the Shadow Transport Infrastructure Minister, Bridget McKenzie. She said that she shouldn't have been so emphatic. She'd never received an upgrade because she had, and she says it's on her declarations, but she's investigating if she's got other upgrades. And so she'll have to update her
declarations. I think you'd remember being upgraded. I think I would remember being upgraded. Of course.
I heard Keith Pitt, another Nationals MP, say that, oh, well, a lot of us don't even book our own flights, so we don't know. Peter Dutton, he took Gina Reinhart's private plane to the 20th anniversary of the Bali bombings. And Anthony Albanese and Dan Andrews took Lindsay Fox's private chopper to his holiday home on Portsea on the Mornington Peninsula. That's also where Dan Andrews, of course, broke his back at a rental on the Mornington Peninsula.
They fell down the stairs or something.
When Dan Andrews is around on the Mornington Peninsula, a lot of things happen. I worked there for a couple of summers. I was always careful when I crossed the road to see if the Andrews, whether they were on the road.
Right. Just to be safe. All right. Okay. A couple more items. Monica Smith launches petition to approve Candace Owens' visa.
Yes. So she, at Tony Burke, the Immigration Minister's office at Federal Parliament, presented a 31,000 signed petition asking him to reverse his decision to deny Candace Owens a visa to tour Australia. This was set up by Life Petitions, which is a project of LifeSite News, which is a Canadian pro-life, pro-Catholic website. So Candace Owens, she's getting support from all of the freedom, nationalist and centre-right community. So it doesn't seem to be the slam dunk, easy denial of visa that Tony Burke thought it would be. And also, there's going to be appeal filed in the federal court to overturn the decision, though I don't believe this will be successful because of the federal court's Novak Djokovic decision back at the beginning of 2022 when his visa was cancelled because he hadn't been vaccinated. The federal court ruled that the immigration minister has total discretion to decide on visas. Which I agree with, because you don't want it to be made by unaccountable judges.
Yeah.
John Howard famously said in 2001, we will decide who comes to this country in the circumstances in which they come. Obviously, we need a better immigration minister than Tony Burke, I would say. Is there any word from your immigration department?
Nothing yet. I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised, but part of me wouldn't be either. No decision on that at all yet here.
Well, I hope that she's allowed into New Zealand and we can have Maybe we can have some Candace Owens flights across the Tasman to go and see her, like the Swifties did, coming from New Zealand to Australia, some Candace Owens flights, Australia to New Zealand.
Well, it's incredible that she's been denied, really. Any sensible thinking person
especially
really be struggling with this.
Because all of the supposed was used in the decision to ban her, all things taken out of context, which we covered last week.
Yeah. No regard for her being a woman of colour. That doesn't seem to come into it when you've got all the other stuff going. So anyway.
Although I wouldn't want to sort of play the identity politics
game. You'd think that there'd be sensitivity to that based on other positions on things.
Well, not when you're accused of being an anti-Semite. I mean, Kanye West won the local Anti-Defamation Commission's Anti-Semite of the Year.
Okay. All right, and to finish up, Pauline Hanson loses case. And what do we know about the judge in this case? What's happened?
Okay, so when Queen Elizabeth II died, the federal Green senator for New South Wales, Maureen Faruqi, who is a immigrant from Pakistan, she's Muslim, she posted on X, I think it was still Twitter at the time, "I cannot mourn the leader of a racist empire built on stolen lives, land and wealth of colonised peoples." And so Pauline Hanson replied, "Your attitude appalls and disgusts me. When you emigrated to Australia, you took every advantage of this country. You took citizenship, bought multiple homes, a job in Parliament. It's clear you're not happy, so pack your bags and piss off back to Pakistan."
Okay.
So Maureen Faruqi utilised 18C of the Federal Racial Discrimination Act to launch a complaint. So it makes it unlawful to offend, insult, humiliate or intimidate someone on the basis of race.
Right, yep.
And so it ended up in the federal court because certainly mediation at the Human Rights Commission wasn't going to solve this. So this was decided on Friday by Federal Court Justice Angus Stewart. And so he ruled that Pauline Hanson's statement was meant to convey that Senator Faruqi, as an immigrant, is a second-class citizen and she should be grateful for what she has and keep quiet. Is it exclusionary? I'm directly quoting from his judgment. In regard to the piss off back to Pakistan statement, that is a variant of the slogan, "Go back to where you came from." The expert evidence established that this is a racist trope with a long history. It carries with it historical anti-immigrant nativist beliefs with roots in Australia that are traceable to the White Australia policy. It is a strong form of racism. So basically, Pauline Hanson has been saying, if you don't like Australia, go back to where you came from. That is now unlawful under this ruling, and it's unlawful for the rest of us to say, if you don't like it here, go back to where you came from. It, in effect, basically makes it unlawful to demand that immigrants assimilate and to argue for deportation for immigrants who aren't subscribing to our values and culture. So it's an extremely disturbing and alarming ruling. And gone are the days when the Liberal and National parties said that they were going to repeal 18C. Now they want more hate speech laws to protect Jewish people from vilification and hate speech.
All right, and the judge. What about the judge?
So this was decided by Justice Angus Stewart. And so a few independent journalists had been digging into his history. And so according to the Journal of the New South Wales Bar Association, Mr. Stewart acknowledged the traditional custodians on the land. And also he's reflected on being born into privilege because he was white, male, able-bodied, cisgendered and heterosexual. Remarked on the suffering, discrimination, inequality, marginalisation and disadvantage that people of colour, women, people with disabilities and LGBTQI people is still face. And one.
Boy, did he miss anyone out there?
He better hope that he didn't leave anyone out. Now, one of his twin sons transitioned at the age of 13 and is now known as Olivia Stewart and is now a transgender activist. And before he was a federal court judge, he was also in the same Wentworth Barrister Chambers as Justice Robert Bromwich, who was the justice who decided in Tickle versus Giggle that sex is changeable. Now, both Pauline Hanson and Sal Grover, they are appealing their respective judgments. So Sal Grover, she posted late last week that her appeal is going to be heard by the full federal court, which involves three judges, which will be held sometime next year. Now, I would argue that the reason these woke justices are able to make these rulings is because the law is bad. And so I don't think the appeals are going to achieve much. And so we need to focus our attention on, mentioning biological sex and the Sex Discrimination Act and repealing 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act. And if we want Candace Owens into Australia, then we certainly, I think, need a better immigration minister.
Yeah, and maybe judges need to declare these positions and interests because it will cloud their judgment on things, won't it? Even though it's a badly written law that you've just made the point of.
Well, I mean, if you go in too hard against judges, then they hold you in contempt of court. So they basically are accountable and to some degree uncriticizable. And also, hopefully Donald Trump is going to return to the White House.
I was saving the best till last. What's your feeling? Do you think we'll know? Okay, we're going to be talking in a week. Do you think we'll know for sure, or will this game be played again like, 2020, where, how it turned out?
I think we will know. I'm pretty confident that Donald Trump will win, though in the back of my mind, there is this doubt that the polling has been too over-corrected to compensate for them being wrong in 2016 and 2020. Our ambassador to the United States, Kevin Rudd, he'll be sweating on the outcome given what he said about Donald Trump in the past.
Yeah, he'll be ready to pack it all up and head home probably, won't he?
Oh, we hope so.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Tim, and we'll talk again in a week.
Thanks, Paul.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.